It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. I am super excited. My guest today is Tom Hopkins, who just happened to fly in from China. So I'm excited to have him here and talk about selling and sales in general. You guys know, Tom is like the master sales trainer. But before we jump into the show, I want to start us off with a quote of the day by the late, great Zig Ziglar. Selling is something we do for our clients, not to our clients. Selling is something that we do for our clients and not to our clients. Massive distinction there. Let's get into it. Today on the show, as I mentioned, is Tom Hopkins. Tom Hopkins carries the standard as the master sales trainer and is recognized as the world's leading authority on selling techniques and salesmanship. Over 5 million people on 5 continents have attended Tom's high-energy live seminars. Tom personally conducts 30-plus seminars each year, traveling throughout the world. He is the author of 18 books, including How to Master the Art of Selling, which has sold over 1.6 million copies worldwide. His latest book, When Buyers Say No, is receiving phenomenal reviews from sales professionals. Tom Hopkins, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you, Bert. Good to be back.
Absolutely. I guess it's also appropriate to say welcome back to America because you were in China for a while.
Oh, 17 hours flying. Yeah, it is good to be back. You know, we all love travel, but I'll tell you, it's a great thing to come home. And so it's good to be back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, I'm excited to have you here on the show because I wanted to talk about this because, Tom, you've been around selling, a good portion of your life. I think since you were 17 or 18 or something like that. And the profession of selling has, suffered, for as long as I can remember from a stigma or a stereotype that sometimes is not very positive. You're probably aware of it since you've made your career as a lifelong salesman and a sales trainer. And you've also, I think, have done quite a bit to change that stigma, but I wanted you to kind of, maybe help us out and share some of your positive aspects of a career in selling.
Well, first of all, you said one word in your message, the word enigma, and I totally believe that there's so many enigmas about what we call selling. We are the greatest consuming nation in the world as far as loving ownership of things, and most ownership comes from some degree of selling. And so in a way, selling is a foundation of capitalism and free enterprise, but yet many people have a negative feeling about selling and salespeople. And I think one of the reasons, Bert, is it's so easy to get into this thing called selling. I mean, a person's out of work or a person's looking for change and they see an ad in the paper and they think, well, I can sell, and they don't know they can't. And so they go into selling untrained, unprofessional, not understanding the art of listening and questioning. And so companies hire them and they spend maybe 3 to 6 months and mess up a lot of people with what they're doing because they don't know what they're doing. So because of that, many people have bought things they wish they'd never seen. Many people wish they'd never met this person based on buying something. So my whole goal in life, or one of my major goals, is to teach people first how the art of selling properly, And then, of course, change that attitude of negativity towards selling, because it is a foundation of our country. In fact, if most people think about everything in their home, their what they drive, what they do for a life, someone said, hey, let me help you say yes to this. And because of that, they made this transaction or a sale. So that has been on the top of my list to change that attitude by teaching people to do it properly.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's interesting because there are some popular shows out there that have really kind of muddied the waters. I mean, you know, there's one show, Married with Children with Al Bundy, and he's a salesperson. I believe he's a shoe salesperson, and they poke fun of the profession there. And then, of course, there's a very famous movie with Alec Baldwin called Glengarry Glen Ross, and it's showing you a very I would say unappealing side of a sales meeting. You know, the famous phrase that came out of there is coffee is for the closers and things of that nature. And I think that people just get this wrong impression that good salespeople are out there shoving products down people's throats. And one of the phrases that I hate to hear is when somebody says, that guy is such a great salesperson, he could sell ice to Eskimos. I hate that, because a real good salesperson is only going to sell something that their clients need.
So true, because for years people used to kind of say that. I heard that about me also, that, you know, I bet he can sell anything. And the truth of the matter is I couldn't sell anything based on my consciousness, based on my heart, based on my empathy for people, and my belief that it's got to be good for them. And if it's not, I couldn't sell it, because I would have morally a feeling I did something wrong instead of doing something right. And I think, honestly, that when I was selling real estate, I knew it was so important for people to buy property, not rent, or not, you know, avoid buying. And back in the, your early days of my selling career, I had people that wanted to rent a home instead of buy it. And I used my strategies, my ability to ask questions, be a great listener, and have had so many people, Bert, over the years thank me for helping them buy a home when they didn't want to, because today it's their major part of their net worth with the appreciation of real estate in the last 40 years. So, you know, again, if you love what you do and you believe in the product and it's good for the consumer, you not only have a right to help them own it, but an obligation to do the right thing, say the right words, handle them properly, to have them own it and thank you in the years ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that story, Tom, that example, because I remember the first house that I bought, I was scared out of my mind. And being, quote, the man of the house, I couldn't, you know, I did not want to tell my wife that I didn't know what I was doing and that I was scared. But luckily, I had a good salesperson that said, Bert, I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to take you, I was a young person, and he probably picked up on the fact that I was a little unsure of myself or scared. And he says, hey, I'm going to help you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to explain everything to you. I am going to make sure that you understand every bit of the process. And he made the whole transaction easy. And I could manage it.
Well, and that's the key, is to make a transaction nice, simple, but take care of everybody and make sure that everybody's happy. And, you know, my last 2 years, I never had to prospect for business because I had so many referrals. And I'm not bragging, but that comes only to those that serve instead of sell.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it only comes when people really trust you. I think that to me is a key characteristic of a professional salesperson, when people trust, hey, that Tom Hopkins, you know what? He's the real estate guy. Go talk to him. He's going to help you. You know, we refer a bunch of people to Tom. That is when you are a true professional, when people trust you, when you are when you come across as an advisor versus as a salesperson.
Oh, boy, you nailed it, Bert. Be an expert advisor, not a salesperson, and you'll make lots of sales, not selling, but serving.
Yes. All right, so let me ask you this, Tom. If somebody is listening to us right now and they're going, hey, I want to be better, I want to be a trusted advisor versus just a salesperson, what are some strategies or some tips? How do they get started making that shift from just a salesperson to a trusted advisor?
Well, again, I think it's all knowledge, and you can only learn anything from someone who's done it. So I would just totally suggest, and I don't need to sell, I would just like to have them consider coming to our website, tomhopkins.com. And, you know, I've got 19 books. The 20th is coming out, and they're all on Amazon. And so what I teach is really in-depth prospecting, qualifying, customizing the presentation, and, of course, closing more sales. So I would love to become a mentor of those that right today maybe have heard us for the first time and thought, wow, I'm going to learn this beautiful art form called selling and not make it a pushy, stressful thing, but learn how to do it properly. And that would make me so happy if I could, you know, help people, because I know you feel the same way with Money for Lunch. You have ideas in short periods of time that can change people's lives if they apply them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm gonna throw in my suggestion, because I fell in love with you and the way you taught and your strategies when I picked up the book, How to Master the Art of Selling. And to me, at that point in my life, and even to this day, How to Master the Art of Selling is this, what do you call it, this foundational piece that I think most people need to own in their library. It is fundamental. It takes care of everything. I mean, the title says it all, How to Master the Art of Selling. And it talks about, in that book, the importance of practice and rehearsing and drilling. And it you know, I remember going through that book and like every chapter was full of aha moments, you know, and in that book, I remember writing out the objections that I was getting on a regular basis and practicing, rehearsing and drilling how to overcome those objections. And I got to the point where, you know, I seldom ever got an objection because I became so much better at presenting and finding out what people would need. And because of that book, How to Master the Art of Selling, I also learned how to prospect correctly. And even in some cases, tell people, you know what, you're not my prospect. I can't help you, or I maybe wouldn't even take the appointment because they didn't qualify. And so, you know, that book to me was such a great confidence booster. There had so many great strategies. So I'm going to plug that book, How to Master the Art of Selling. And I think it's one of those books that everybody should have.
Well, thank you, Bert. And always good, so good to talk to you and your listeners. And I look forward to our next visit.
Absolutely, Tom. I'm glad you're back and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good stuff there from Tom Hopkins. Literally the guy who revolutionized the art and science of selling. And if you want to increase your knowledge of selling, if you want your salespeople to be better, if you want your salespeople to be trusted advisors, How to Master the Art of Selling is the book that I would recommend. And as Tom said, he's got like 20 books. Go to tomhopkins.com, tomhopkins.com. He's got a plethora of resources and audios and free stuff that you can download and start increasing your productivity as well as your sales. As always, my friends, I'm so grateful that you stopped by. Please, let's share this episode with everybody we know. let's share this episode with people who are in sales and maybe just need a boost. And maybe it might be for a sales manager or a sales executive or the VP of sales. Share this episode with them. I wholeheartedly appreciate it. And remember, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
And we're going to be talking to Mr. Bill Bartman. Bill Bartman is a highly recognized and awarded businessman, and he's got a very interesting story. I want you guys to listen to this. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, Bert, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Bill, I know a lot of our listeners may not have heard your story, so before we get into it, and we're going to be talking about how to get out of credit card debt quickly, but before we get to that, give us a little bit about your background, a little bit about your story.
Well, certainly, and I guess we could start with the old standard rags to riches, but everybody's heard those stories so many times, they're almost like chopped liver anymore. So we don't call mine rags to riches, more like rats to riches. We grew up in a neighborhood where there were more rats per capita than there were people. But from there, fortunately, even though I was a high school dropout, spent 5.5 years in high school, an alcoholic by the time I was 17, I'm essentially deaf and wear hearing aids to hear about half of what goes on around about me, and grew up on welfare and poverty, and left home when I was 14. I managed to finally get my boat righted, as they would call it, and honestly, Bert, it happened because I met the woman of my life, the lady I met when I was 14 and she was 11. We dated for 10 years, and we've been married now for 36, and I give her all the credit in the world for kicking my rump, so to speak, back to the system. I got a GED. With my GED, I managed to get into college on probation, graduated on probation 4 years later, got into law school on probation, flunked out, got back in, finally graduated on probation, and with that, where Kathy and I have, over the course of our life, we've been blessed and fortunate that we've been able to have some pretty significant business success. In 1986, we went broke. I live in Oklahoma, and we were in the oil and gas business, and the price of oil went from $40 a barrel down to $14, and we went flat, bankrupt, broke, and from there we saw an opportunity, the same opportunity that's going on right now. We saw the economy being in the tank. We saw massive numbers of people being unemployed and banks failing, and so we started buying bad debt. We started buying charged-off credit cards for literally a nickel on the dollar, and with that, over the next 12 years, we created a billion-dollar company. Kathy and I became the 25th wealthiest people in America, members of the Forbes 400, and fortunately, we have won a whole list of business awards, none of which will buy you a cup of coffee anywhere, but they're real pretty when they hang on the wall.
Well, you know, it's good to be recognized by your peers. I think it does say a little bit, but you're right. When it comes down to it, it doesn't buy a cup of coffee. So tell us, Bill, you went from literally from rats to riches, as you like to say. You've been married to Kathy for 36 years?
36, yeah, which means she had to get a Purple Heart or something.
That's right. Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool that you give her all the credit. That is an amazing thing how women can affect us.
Absolutely, Bert. You know, and it's so understated. I mean, you know, the old adage of behind every successful man, there's a woman. Well, that is so much baloney. Kathy has never been behind me. She's never been in front of me. She's always been alongside of me. And people who have great relationships, those are the ones who more often than not are the ones who are great successes in life. So isn't there a lesson there? You know, get a relationship, keep a relationship, work a relationship, and then maybe the rest of your life will fall in place.
Well, absolutely. It's very difficult to have success outside if you're not having success inside the home.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get to it. Tell us about how to get out of credit card debt quickly.
Well, here is the quickest way possible, and it kind of rubs against the norm, and I don't want people to think I'm preaching some kind of financial anarchy or something when I tell them that. But remember now, the business that we created was buying charged-off credit cards, and we bought 4.5 million individual accounts, so I have some background here. What I'm suggesting for people who are so far underwater that they can't see out, and, you know, that has a different definition for different people, but if you look at your own finances and say, at the job I have right now, at the way things are going, I am so far in. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. But if that's where you're at, you have to look at some pretty extraordinary situations to get out of the hole you're in. And one of the things you can do is, and here it comes, quit paying your credit card bills. Now, when you quit paying your credit card bills, it will hurt your credit rating. Oh, boy, there it is, almost an immediate thing. But the truth of the matter is, Bert, if somebody's that far upside down, they already have already hurt their own credit rating. And so one more little ding on it isn't probably going to make a big difference to them. Now, conversely, if your credit is good, you'd never want to do this. But if your credit's already been shot, if you quit paying your credit card bills, here's what happens. And you'll get some phone calls. You'll get collectors calling you. But if you just keep saying no, after 180 days, the credit card company, the bank, has to charge off the debt. That's a rule. That's a law, actually. It's a GAAP accounting rule. And the bank will charge off the debt and then sells those loans, those credit card debts, for as low as a nickel on the dollar to people like me. And when we buy them for a nickel on the dollar, we call up the same customer and we're prepared to settle for, you know, 15 cents on the dollar. So a person who is, say, $10,000 in debt on their credit card right now and can't pay the 10 grand because they just don't have it, they might be able to settle with somebody for, say, $1,500. And the problem is the bank won't let them settle with the bank for $1,500. So that's the one thing they can do is nothing. Don't pay your bills. And if you don't pay your bills, eventually they will be sold off to someone else who will settle with you for pennies on the dollar.
Well, that's a great strategy. It's kind of like reverse leverage.
It is exactly that. You know, it's kind of the one step short of bankruptcy. You know, when you file bankruptcy because you're so far in you can't get back out, you know you're going to hurt your credit, but you also know you're going to effectuate a solution.